Blog Talk Radio.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east, to the mask bedroom where the vampires feast, the ghouls all came from their humble abode to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guest included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash. Out from his coffin, Rex's voice did ring. Seemed he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said,
whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash.
The monster mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the mash.
It's caught on in a flash.
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash. Now everything's cool, Drax a part of the band, and my monster mash is the hit of the land. For you the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them Boris sent you.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
The monster mash.
And do my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
Mash!
Easy, Igor, you impetuous young boy.
Mash, cool!
Monster mash, cool!
Alrighty, from Bobby Pickett and the Crypt Kickers. I hadn't heard those for a while. Welcome today to Bonnie Albers on Air. And today we have a special guest, Brooke Montfort, and she's our mystery lady today. And we're just going to bring her on here, and she is going to tell everybody a bit about herself, her history. She's got a very fascinating history. She's done quite a few things in her life in addition to her natural talent. And she is just going to talk to us a little bit today, and then we're going to do what I call part readings. Anybody calling in today is going to get a bit of a double dip, because the way Brooke works is she takes a little bit of time to tune in. So while she is tuning in, I'll give people their birth cards real quick, and then ask her what kind of things she's dialed in on. So it'll be an interesting day. Hey, Brooke, are you there?
Hi.
Hey, you're there. All right. I know we were having some computer glitches today, so we're very fortunate to have gotten you on this morning. Or it's actually noon where you're at, so still morning my time. So how's it going today, besides computer glitches?
Well, I was going to complain about the cold, but then when I realized where you live, I decided I wouldn't do that. Since I'm in Texas, and, you know, I'm in Austin, Texas, so, you know, we just...
Whoa! You're warm!
I know. But I'm a big complainer. What can I say, I guess?
Yeah.
There you are in Wyoming. Good grief. It never gets warm where you live.
Well, actually, right now I'm in Idaho, so it's like, yeah, Wyoming. Yeah, lived there for many years. In fact, still have property. I'm going back to, kind of visit and take care of. But yeah, Wyoming. They say there's three seasons in the year. Actually, there's there's winter and pre-winter and, and then post-winter, and then there's the construction season. Well, no, I've heard it said there's winter, the mud season, and construction season. That's what it is. So, yeah, Jeff Foxworthy cracked a lot of jokes about you might be from Wyoming if, But right now we're in Idaho, ho-ho, so we're in the Valley of the Jolly, ho-ho, ho-ho,
okay,
giant
that's
moment. Although we've been actually praying for some snow in the mountains because the reservoirs are remarkably low, and my son-in-law works for a farming outfit. He said, yeah, if we don't get some snowpack in the mountains, and if we don't get some rain and stuff, and if the reservoirs don't fill up, it's going to be a kind of droughted growing season. Of course, if there's no water to grow crops, then there's no crops in, and of course it means a little bit shorter on the food cycle. So we are all actively praying snow in the mountains to fill the reservoirs and some rain to water through the summer, so we'll have a good harvest. So yeah, that's where we're at.
Well, the whole West has been going through droughts, for a decade almost.
Yeah. Water table's been lower, that's for sure. So anyway, I read some of the Greg Braden stuff on how to, I think it was, it wasn't the book Isaiah Effect. I think it was actually his book called The Lost Secret of the Mode of Prayer or something like that. But and it might be in both. But he talked about a Native American friend of his that prayed rain. And it's like, and it broke, it was phenomenal. He said that, to read it in there, it's a couple, three pages worth of his description of everything that happened. And he said after this guy went out and literally went around and prayed at this ancient medicine wheel, he said on the evening news, it was about, 6-8 hours later, on the news it showed the Gulf Stream, the airstream. It came across, it made this horseshoe dip down into, it was northern New Mexico, and all of a sudden it's like there was this warm air coming down, and then there was cold air coming up that was wet from the south, and perfect conditions for rain, and it started raining, and it didn't quit, and there was like floods, there was like, bridges washed out, towns were underwater, water, that kind of stuff. So we called him the next day, and he goes, hey, what's with all this rain? And there was this little silence on the phone. And he says, well, that's the part of the prayer I haven't figured out. He says, I haven't figured out quantity control. But he said the drought was broken. And yeah, I know. And after that, he said it would rain like, two or three times a week and enough to water the crops. And it was, just revived the land. So I know that weather control, you can pray weather control. You can pray, in behalf of things to change. And it's really interesting the way he worded it and stuff. But, yeah, whole other thing, though. So I've been praying. Been praying snow.
there are certain disciplines within the Native American school of spirituality, specific disciplines where weather control is actually part of that path, learning how to do that. And
right.
It is tied in with the medicine wheels.
Yeah.
Because when the Europeans first got here, there were over 80,000 medicine wheels across the United States, I guess, or some crazy high number of medicine wheels, because that's the shamans control the weather patterns through the medicine wheel.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know there's actually something they studied, but, Greg had said about his friend, whose name was changed to protect the innocent, type of thing, but he said that he'd learned that as a little boy. But this place where they hiked out to, he said they hiked out like 2 hours into the desert, and he said it was a place where, what he described, he said the veils between the worlds were thinner. And I went, veils between the worlds. This sounds like, either alternate dimensions or parallel universe or, something like that, all the stuff that we, have heard about in quantum physics and all that stuff, which is just, it's all one. Talk about things being all one, it's all one. It's really amazing.
I wonder if this medicine man was able to see the electromagnetic grid some of the shamans that work with the medicine wheels can see the dodecahedron, the electromagnetic grid that the Earth creates just from spinning in space. And so based on that, we have the ley lines, and then you'll find sacred sites at major junctions of the ley lines around the planet.
Right. That's it. That, I've got some friends who are into the ley line stuff, and I wanted to study that. I mean, they've told me, you know, bits and pieces, and I just haven't. It's one of those, it's like, it's on my list of things to research. But it's
I've heard Native American elders describe the electromagnetic grid that goes around the planet as Grandmother Spider Woman. Because it looks like a great big spider web. If you could see the energy, it looks like a big spider web.
Wow, that is cool.
Huh?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And some of the stuff where they've actually photographed, with Kirlian photography or whatever spectral analysis, I don't think it's computers. Like they have some kind of special cameras where they have actually taken pictures of the energy, stuff, and they talk. It does.
Scalar
it
waves,
like that.
That's all the Tesla stuff, the scalar wave,
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I love Tesla. It's like he was, talk about somebody way ahead of his time. Phenomenal, phenomenal man.
He was just an alien. He was a flat-out alien.
Well, and they said supposedly Einstein was, too. It's like he got all this stuff channeled because they thought he was, like, autistic. It's like he didn't speak till he was almost 4 years old, and they thought he was retarded. So, yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about you today. So who are you, and what have you been doing on the Earth planet, and are you an alien in disguise also? Or, I think a lot of us
are. Actually, I am. I'm pretty convinced I'm an alien. I've always felt like one.
We need to get that.
And then when I had, I've had readings. Yeah, I've had readings from people who said, "Oh, you're connected to so many different dimensions and pulling and tapping into so many things. It's like you're an alien."
I always said that.
I'm an alien. I took the wrong turn at Alpha Centauri, and I ended up here. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it.
Sticking to it. It's kind of like that Bugs Bunny. I should have been right at Pismo Beach. Yep.
Well, I used to think that everyone had the types of experiences that I've had my entire life.
Right. Because that's normal for you.
And it was a bit of a shock for me to understand that other people had not dreamed about their birth, throughout their childhood, like remembering their birth or remembering being other people in other times.
Oh,
and places,
And
so I thought everybody was like that, of course, and it takes you a while
to figure out that
you're an alien.
Especially when you start talking to mom or dad or grandma and grandpa, and they go, "What are you talking about?" Or else they pat you on the head and they go, "You've got such a lovely imagination, dear." It's like, just keep talking to your imaginary friends. That's perfect. I got that too.
I think when we were talking before, I said I could hear the Devic realm when I was really little. I had these really clear, and I always had memories that were extremely clear and accurate.
Right.
Even when, we lived in this one little house outside of Chicago until I was four, and then my mother moved us all to Phoenix, Arizona, where I grew up. But when I was older, when I was an adult, I was living in Chicago again. I was in my 20s. And I was on a camping road trip with a girlfriend, and we were going right past this little town that I had lived in until I was four. And I said, "Hey, let me see if I can find my old house." And she kind of looks at me funny. She's driving, and she looks at me kind of funny, and she goes, "Okay, where do I go?" "Oh, get off here, So I without even thinking about it, I was telling her, "Turn right here, turn left," we'd get to some intersection, and I was just telling her. And the next, and after about five turns, we were right in front of my house. the same house that we left when I was four. And here's the weird thing. It looked exactly like I remembered it. It wasn't smaller than I remembered, you know.
Wow. Now, that
it was laid
is
out exactly like I remembered. Yeah, it was
weird,
except for a tree. Some elms had died. But, yeah, it was funny. Weird.
I remember going back to something that where we lived at when I was about like five years old, and it's like it looks so tiny. I was like going, man, it doesn't look like. I mean, I recognize it, but it looks like it shrunk. Like, yeah.
Well, see, a lot of people have that experience, and that was what surprised me, is because my dimensions were pretty accurate.
Right.
From a memory I had from like 3 and 4 years old, and lots of clear memories about playing out in the yard and being very aware of the conversations going on between the different kinds of trees, the conversations going on between the different kinds of flowers. Yes, they had they were all talking. They had different voices. Like there were some sycamores, I guess. They were very chatty, very, very chatty. And then there was this oak. And there was this oak that grew right between the house and the garage, and I used to like to wrap my arms around it and just listen to it breathe. And it was like an old man.
Wow.
It didn't speak very much, but it had this really deep, 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 slow inhale. And it used to make me feel so calm and safe.
Wow, the mighty oak tree. Oh, that is cool. Well, are you still talking to the trees? You know, because we've heard of talking animals with Dr. Doolittle, but it's like, are you still talking to the trees and plants? That is really cool. Oh, what a gift. Oh.
Well, yeah, they talk to me, sure, because I go to someone's house and I'll be walking past a plant, and I can hear it when it's thirsty.
Oh my goodness.
Hear a plant express thirst when I walk past it, so then I'll just go and get something and water their plants. They'll be like, what are you doing? I'm like, your plant's thirsty.
How did you know that? Because it told me, and then they go,
to me, it's almost like stuff doesn't even get, you know, some sort of marked attention. But it makes it very difficult, too, to be around things that aren't being neglected, like animals. It's really hard for me to be, to deal with situations where people are neglecting animals, because especially with animals, I feel their anxiety.
Oh, wow.
And they throw pictures, you know, how dogs and cats, they speak in pictures.
They
project pictures at you. They throw pictures at you. And sometimes some of them are good at it and some of them are not as good at it. And I met this one golden retriever once who, the first time I met her, this big image of a ball came right into my mind. As soon as she comes running up to me,
and
I said, wow, you're a loud dog, man. You're loud with those thoughts. That's good.
That's funny. Did you find the ball and play with her?
I don't think so at the time.
That's cool.
I was, you know, going over to somebody's house for the first time, you know, kind of thing. And I don't know, we were gathering a bunch of women to do something. So, but it was kind of interesting.
Yeah. You know. Can you do that like at distance with animals, or is it just you have to be close to them to do that?
That's interesting. I don't think I've ever tried distance stuff, that much distance things.
Okay.
I know that I've been tested with certain things, like I can put my consciousness into objects.
Oh, wow. Okay, like
yeah,
a ringer watch.
Yeah, I could do that. A medicine man who was a... There was a man that I met who used to be the... he was the psychic for Rolling Thunder, a medicine man named Rolling Thunder, who was very famous, and books were written about Rolling Thunder, RT. And but anyway, this man was a consultant of that other famous medicine man, and he tested me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I don't like being tested.
tests are never fun, whether they're math or anything, huh? Oh, my
well,
goodness.
it was appropriate because I was telling him about stuff I was perceiving and getting and seeing and feeling, and I wasn't sure if I could trust it. I said, is this my imagination, or am I making stuff up, or, you know, is this for real? So he handed me a secrets box that was all covered and wrapped up and wrapped up and wrapped up with layers and layers of string, like a twine. He just handed it to me and said, what's in there?
Let's see, you want me to put myself in the box. Okay. Am I a brick in the box
now? You can trust. Yeah, he's like, you want to find out if you can trust what you get? Tell me what's in here.
Oh, wow. So is there something you can tell us what was in there? Or?
Well, yeah, I can tell you. I mean, I was like, oh, great, a test. I mean, I hate tests, right? So I'm like, okay, I'm paying this guy for this session. anyway, so I just said, okay, what the heck ever. I wanted to know, too, right? So I just closed my eyes, and I let my consciousness fall. That's kind of what it feels like, fall into this. Secrets box or whatever, and there were secrets in it, I'll tell you that. I got these sensations. I got sensations one after the other, and then what I got was the first thing I felt was this tremendous physical strength, like a strength throughout my shoulders that just was phenomenal. And the smells of the earth were super intense. Like everything was about these really intense smells. And then the next thing I knew, I was flying through the air really fast, and I went up, straight up, and I looked down onto this forest, trees, mountains, stuff like that, and then I dove back down in, and the speed was breathtaking, and into some sort of plant. And then that was it. And so I opened my eyes, and I said, whatever. I told the guy what I had experienced. And he took it from me, this box, and he starts unwinding the string, and he's listening to me describe this. He's unwinding the string. Takes him a while. And he opens it up, and he shows me, and inside was a grizzly bear claw and a hummingbird.
Oh, wow.
And he looked at me, and he goes, I think you can trust what you get.
Oh, the hummingbird was the speed, and it's like, and the grizzly bear was the plant. Oh my goodness!
The smells and the strength and the power, you know, and the physical strength, you know. So, yeah, that's what he said. He goes,
right?
How do you do that? What you get? So I can do that, but you know how it is. For me, it's organic. I don't make my living as a psychic. I don't make my living as a psychic, so. And it's an organic process for me, you know. I get what I get, or I don't, you know.
Right.
Get something.
Oh, that's really cool, though. So yeah. So talk about what you do. What you do, and it's like I think it's about ghost
what
writing,
I do.
Not necessarily the kind of ghost we think about.
Right. It's ghost writing, but it's not paranormal.
Right. There you
well,
go.
Maybe a little. I almost kind of feel like paranormal is something we should, a word we should eliminate.
Okay.
Because everything is energy vibrating at different speeds.
Right.
Everything is, and the speed and that of that vibrational energy is what determines how it manifests and how we experience it. But it doesn't mean that because something is, there's so much that's vibrating at speeds that we can't see anyway. So we're surrounded all the time by things that we can't see, but it doesn't mean they're not there.
Yeah.
And I truly believe after a life of really remarkable experiences, long before I had the words or the vocabulary to understand or describe those experiences, I know that reality is more malleable than we like to think of it. Reality is like quantum physics.
Right. That's why I like those Greg Braden moments, because that's exactly you just nailed it. That's exactly what he says about, you know, and there's so much coming out about it with oh golly, what is it, the secret, you know, Rhonda Byrne and the energy stuff. And I mean, there are so many people and so many, you know, different writers writing about it, you know, and whether it's in science or whether it's in metaphysical, if you will. There's tremendous amounts of, you know, material coming out about it, finally. I'll say finally.
Well, we all stand on the shoulders of the giants who have come before us. And I know that the curiosity, the natural curiosity I had about all the really unexplainable experiences I had, including my body moving through space without going through all the steps. Like if you've ever gone, you physically move from point A to point Z without going through the whole alphabet.
Right. Right.
And that was something that happened to me when I was a teenager and really young, and I had absolutely no idea what I had experienced. I was at the top of a mountain, and then I was standing by the car in the parking lot. There's no
holy moly!
Time,
you teleported.
No loss of time. I teleported.
Wow. Sounds like a Star Trek
episode. A long story.
Okay.
But anyway.
Wow.
I just, you know, if there's anything that anyone can take away from our conversation today, it's to please understand that how powerful you are, and how powerful we all are, and to affect to that we can really affect change, but. A huge part of being here on this planet is to understand about, to learn about manifesting.
Cool.
To learn about our thoughts and how we are co-creators.
And hopefully to make a difference.
And that's complicated,
for the
course
better.
Of study, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's why we're here
for
so long.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't master that stuff easily. So
right, and then I think you were talking about. We got some callers here, but there was one other thing I wanted you to tell us about, because you had an incident, because I asked you, it's like, you know, wow, well, you know, you still do this and still do that, and you said there was an incident that happened when you tripped, and I didn't catch how old you were when it happened, but I remember you said that had an effect because you. You fell and you hit your head. And what happened with that? You know, like how old were you? What happened?
I was four. And that was when I fell and I hit the wall, it split my third eye down to the skull right there. I hit right at the corner of a wall when I fell.
Wow.
Yeah, my forehead. That's right where it hit. So my mother, of course, rushes me to the doctor. And they put these stitches in. They had to stitch right between my eyes there. I still remember the trauma, my little legs hanging off the doctor's table there. And the doctor saying, just one more. But anyway,
just one more, I'll take.
But then he lied. He kept doing more and more. But anyway, then I stopped hearing everything. It wasn't the same. It was like suddenly it was quiet, and I felt like everyone went away. So it was a real traumatic loss for me to lose that constant companionship that I felt from the world before my third eye got closed. But it's a good thing because, you know, I came in to work and to get some karma handled, and that would have been harder for me if I had been as open later
for everything.
As I had been that young. Yeah.
Wow.
Wouldn't have been good.
Wow. So what was the process? Because, I mean, obviously you've got to the point where you've learned to open it again. So how, you know, what kind of a process was that? It's like, how did you go about learning?
Yes and no. Like I said, everything's always been an organic process to me. All I've ever tried to do is just my life, you know, just figure out what I'm here for like anybody else and how to survive here, you know, like anybody else. And so I haven't really pursued like, oh, I'm going to develop this or that, you know. I haven't really pursued that, but I've allowed it to unfold as ever it wanted to, I guess.
Right.
Not that I had any control.
Right.
have control over. But and there have been times when, and even to this day still, I don't want to be open all the time, because what happens with me is then I go out to meet a friend for dinner, and I know what the couple sitting at the next table are worried about, and I don't want to know that. It's not my business. I feel like it's nosy.
Kind of like opening somebody else's mail. Yeah, you don't want to say that. I
can
see that. You don't want to sit there and go, hey, by the way, could you keep your thoughts down a little bit? Because I understand you're worried about this, but, you know, no worries, be happy. It's like you drop a screw at the restaurant.
And by the way, you're not going to lose the house, so don't worry about it. You know, I'm like...
That would
really
be positive. You could tell them that, and it's like, and then they go, you know. But you ought to, you need to start carrying a calling card if you're going to do that, and say, "Here's who I am. I'm a part of
the
psychic and blah."
I learned how to turn it off more.
There you go.
I actually learned how to turn it off more, because my feeling is that if someone wants counseling, they can ask for counseling, and I have a very strong feeling about the appropriateness of being asked.
Yeah,
before I
definitely.
You know, because I feel like that's kind of the integrity for me, is to wait to be asked.
Yep. Yeah.
And so that's why
I
like having my antenna open and out there all the time.
All the time.
Because
it's
like being a peeping Tom.
You pick up everything. You know what, Ashley?
You know, that's right.
What are you thinking? No, there was actually what it reminded me of was, there was actually a Star Trek. It was one of the Deep Space Nine episodes, and it's like, it was, you know, when Patrick Stewart was, you know, Captain Picard and all that, and they had Deanna Troi as the, she was like a beta sid, and they were like an empathic race.
Oh, yeah.
And there was this one where this guy had been born, you know, he had been born open from the time, you know, he was little, and when he was talking to him, he says, you know, right now, there's like, I don't know, 1,000 and so many people on this ship, and he says, I can hear the thoughts of every one of them. He says, you know how untruthy that is? He'd never learned to shut up. So it's like,
yeah.
Oh, you know, it's like, it's enough to make somebody go crazy. But he found this thing that they called, I don't know, Tin Man or Gumtu. And I was like, he liked being around Data the android, because Data had no feelings. So he was a very soothing companion for this guy. It's a really interesting episode.
It was quiet.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. All righty. Well, I think we got some callers waiting to talk to us here, and it's like, and we can take a few, and then we can talk a little more, because you know, you got some good stories to relate. I know you do. We spent a couple hours yesterday relating stories, so
that's a long, strange road, isn't it?
Oh, never strange.
You want to take a call?
You know, that's life. It's like that for us is a norm. I mean, I snicker when, you know, when people say, oh, this is weird or this is strange. It's like, nope, that's our norm. Mm-hmm. You know, welcome to our world. Have a good one. And then people look at you really weird. All righty. Well, our first caller here, and what our protocol here is going to be for the day is I'm going to have you guys give me your name, and then so we know who we're talking to, we'll say howdy. And if you'll let me have your birth month and your birthday, I'll at least tell you your generic birth card. And while I'm just doing that, you know, just for a minute or two, that's going to give Brooke an opportunity to listen to your voice and just kind of dial in to, you know, do her fall moment and see what she gets for you. So you get a little bit of a double dip today, and kind of have a question in mind so we can have a point of focus. So here we go with our first caller, area code 814. 814, you're online with us today. Hello? Area code 814. Okay, you know what? They might have muted themselves. Not sure. Not hearing anything there. Hello? 814, you're online with us. Okay, I'll stick you back in queue in your place, and we will come back to you. We'll try our next caller here and see if they're alive and with us here. Area code 630. We got you today.
Hi.
Hello. Who are we talking to?
This is Mary, and my birthday is 5/29.
5/29. Okay. You are a three of clubs, and you've got a three of spades as your planetary ruler. So I'll just give you a little bit here on those. And I do the planetary ruler first, because otherwise I forget them. But the difference between a planetary ruler and your actual birth card is about, like in Western astrology, it's like the difference between your sun sign and your ascendant. The sun sign is like who you really are, so your birth card is, you know, who you are at the core. And then the planetary ruling card is how you manifest that out to the world. So we'll look at this here. And let's see, three of spades. So how you come across to the world gives you a lot of creative energy. It might result in you becoming some kind of an artist. However, you need to know this is one of the cards that only attains success through hard work. Spades are about workhorse and more work. And I always tell people, think of, think of spading up your garden, not with the rototiller. Think with the hand spade, okay? So, you know, you're gonna work hard for that. Without that hard work, your creativity will be wasted on stress, indecision, uncertainty, and worry. You might have some unexplainable health concerns that dominate your attention from time to time, especially if you're work-oriented. Your work brings you peace, but do not ignore your health while you're doing that. So, you know, really be conscious of your health and how that goes with you. You have the capacity to work two jobs at the same time, possibly three. You have a strong romantic streak and needs that. If your romantic needs are not met in your current relationship, you might be tempted to seek them elsewhere. But before you go, looking for a new one, it's like make sure you tie up the ends, of an old one before you step out and look for somebody new. Because otherwise, it creates a lot of karmic things that you have to come back and take care of later. And it's like that's not our goal this go around. It's like we're trying to get through this without creating more karma. The three of clubs itself. Now here's your birth card. It's called the writer's card. And again, these are very creative cards. They can manifest in a lot of ways. I'll give you the high and the low side here. On the high side, you can be very successful as a writer, a teacher, some kind of artistic performer. On the flip side, you can let that go to worry or be indecisive or, just kind of fritter your time away. Even among the most successful three of the clubs, we find that worry and indecision, that's more or less of a constant theme in their life. So if you can kind of, get rid of the worry and do something, I refer people to Rhonda Byrne's, The Secret, and it's like learn how to channel that and focus that. And it's the difference of, if you're at the end of your rope, tie that rope around a tire swing and swing on it, okay? Don't just sit there hanging like the kitten going, oh, help me. It's like, no, just sit in your tire swing and swing until you get some better ideas. Success in life always depends upon the individual, of course, how, you use your God-given gifts and abilities. You are gifted, but you have this fear of poverty, and it might entice you into using your creativity into questionable ways. And if that happens, you're not likely to get away with that. You get the boomerang effect like right away. You would make a really good salesperson, really selling, the things you believe in, but you're not effective until you decide upon one philosophy and really just stand behind it to stick heart and soul. It's one of the strongest business cards because you've got a King of Diamonds as your second karma card, and that is called the businessman card. You gravitate towards big money and big business, and you can easily get yourself in a position of leadership wherever you work. You've also got a Five of Diamonds, and that can cause you to choose occupations where your freedom is not hampered too much. So a lot of times you either choose to work for yourself or, freelance work, something like that. You've got natural gifts that are very creative, and you have the ability, if you want to pursue it, to become prominent as like an author, a speaker, or, a producer in the entertainment industry, something like that. So it's like, kind of that brass ring there. You're going to have some emotional losses, relationships you think, should have lasted forever but didn't. Some of which seem really destined and karmic in nature, probably because they are. But if you see those as a completion and as a graduation to a higher level, you can avoid the disappointment and really, that heart scarring, I'll say. Your love has the potential to be realized on a more universal level. And if you utilize your inheritance of spiritual knowledge, you can have a lot of success realized. You're really here to be a transformer of energy. You transform worry into creativity and fear into faith. And in that way, you can really serve as a powerful example for the people around you. In relationships specifically, sometimes there's some indecision, indecisiveness, uncertainty about making a commitment one way or another, because you love to try different things. I mean, that's creative people do. So there's tends to be a lot of going back and forth. you know, when relationships are just, you know, deciding, you know, it's like I love him, I hate him, I love him, I hate him, you know, type of thing. Or you may attract those kind of people who reflect those qualities. So, you know, they're either afraid or unwilling to make a commitment. The happiest, you know, doing your happiness is when you accept your need for variety. And, if, you know, depending on your age and stage, you know, it's like if you're younger and not married, it's like, you know, kind of what they call play in the field back in my day. You know, and then when you finally do decide on someone, you know, you're going to be really happy with that. There are going to be some losses, you know, so you can have love and happiness when you make a firm decision and really just refuse to accept less than what you truly want. You got a heart of gold, and you can do almost anything for the people that you love. It's just that you've got to come to terms with on a personal relationship a lot of different things before, you know, a long-term relationship is successful. So if you're in one, it means you probably didn't work, and you probably come to terms with a lot of that. Okay, so Brooke, it's your turn. What are you getting here?
So, Mary, did you have you been on a road trip recently?
No, not recently, but I am going on a vacation in June. In May.
Okay, are you going to be?
June.
I was getting. Go ahead.
I am going on vacation. Not a road trip, but I am going on vacation in, at the end of May, early June.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because I kept feeling like this trip kept coming up for me, that what I was getting, and that there's going to be something important that comes to you out of this, something that could be transformative for you.
Wow, that's interesting, because I am taking a trip. It's my 40th birthday, and
mm-hmm.
So I had read in a book I can't remember the name of the author, but she goes to see John of God a lot, and she does trips, and I read her book, and she had written in her book that, you know, where you spend your birthday sets the tone for the year, so I decided this year I'm going to go on a big trip, so that's exactly what I'm doing this May.
Hmm. Yeah, well, I think that's going to be really good. I my sense is that, my feeling that I got when I was listening was very like this, all this clarity was there, all of this openness was there, and I didn't feel a lot of issues coming up, or I wasn't seeing, do you know what I mean? It just felt kind of like an open road, and then I kept seeing, then I got RV and a trip, and so anyway,
wait a minute. How could I have forgotten?
RV?
Okay, the friend that I'm going to go visit, she lives overseas, and she wants, and that's the person that I'm visiting, and she wanted to take a road trip from the place where she lives to a different country to go see a concert, and she wanted me to go with her, but I've got to change my ticket to do it. Do you think I should change my ticket?
Well, I hate it when people ask me that question, like, because about a decision. All I was getting was, like, just the RV. She's let me ask. Yes, I'm getting a yes that you should go.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's what I was thinking, because I'm like, you know, at first I was like, you know, I'm not a kid to be going to this concert, like, where there's going to be a bunch of kids, but she really wants to go. And I thought, you know, why not?
Absolutely, because it's about what you discover for yourself, you know, in this process. It's not about, you know, relating to the kids. You know?
Right, right. For some reason,
you.
I felt like I'd be out of place, but I'm like, you know what, who cares? It doesn't matter that I'm not 19.
You said, where is this? You said this is in Europe?
Yeah, it's in Europe, yeah.
Uh-huh, it's in Europe. And it's the people in Europe are so different, though, in their attitude towards ages.
Yeah. So she wanted to take a road trip from Germany down to Barcelona.
Oh, you've got to do it. Think yes. Ding, 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 bells and whistles. Yeah, you should go.
Okay. I'll just worry about the money later, because it costs like $200 to change my plane ticket. Just do it, right?
Mm-hmm. Just do it. Go on this.
Yeah. I have to say, this is awesome because I got to write your name down. What was the first girl?
I'm Brooke.
Mm-hmm. Brooke, okay.
My name is Brooke Monfort. M-O-N as in Nancy, S as in Frank, O-R-T as in Tom. That's my name, and you can look me up, Brooke Monfort, on WordPress. My blog is all written for writers. It's all advice for people who are writing, developing fiction or screenplays.
Okay, and I just have to tell you, everything that you said about my cards was absolutely 100% correct. I don't know if you heard me, but I was like gasping as you were talking. I could not believe it. First of all, I used to call myself an aspiring writer, but I'm really not because now I'm actually doing it. I used to just be so afraid to write because I was afraid of what people would say. But this year, I finally just put my nose to the grindstone, and I actually have already entered into 2 different contests.
Wow.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, and everything that you said is totally right. It was just that just completely blew my mind. That is exactly how I am. I get so stressed out and worried about what people are going to think of me that I end up not doing it. But this is the first year I've made myself write every single day.
Cool.
That totally blew my mind. Everything that you said about like career and relationship, I'm actually in a relationship with someone right now that we've been together for like 10 years, but it's just not going anywhere.
Wow. those are what I call the Atlantean cards. They're the birth cards, the cards of destiny. It's like, yeah, I like those a lot. They've been around for centuries, literally. And it's like, I didn't develop them, but it's like, I have a lot of respect for the people that did. That's amazing. Wow.
Yeah, that's totally amazing. And it's so weird that I'm talking to you, Brooke, because that you help people that are writers, and that's what I want to do. That is so freaky. You have no idea. I'm just
cool.
Like, my mouth is open right now.
Well, great. I'm glad.
Amazing how
by the way, I wanted to tell you, Mary, you should blog about your trip.
I should? Okay.
Mm-hmm. While you're doing it, get yourself a decent camera, take pictures, write about your experiences, keep a road diary, in the form of a blog.
Cool.
Yes, I will do that. And another thing, too, is the reason I got inspired to go there is because I helped an old man that recently died who was like a Holocaust survivor.
Oh, wow.
And he's the person that inspired me to go to Germany because his parents died there. Actually, they died in
wow.
Czechoslovakia, but they were in Germany.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
That's
do you have any messages from him?
I don't really get that so much. Bonnie does, but do you, Kelly?
Bonnie does. Yeah, that's not my talent or gift either. It's like, Bonnie's kind of our spirit message girl. So if you want to check on that one, if you can call back, like she's on vacation today. Well, she's on vacation this week, actually. So I'm kind of pinning for her, but it's like, call us back next week, and it's like, she'll be on. And I was like, I know she has, it's funny because she goes, these people are just lined up behind me from the other side. So, yeah, call back in.
Yeah, that's
know,
so funny. I just have to say that this reading is completely spot on. And so basically I need to just do this road trip and just, go full throttle.
Yes, uh-huh. The time is now for you. With this
format. That is...
With the writing, with moving fully into it, yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah. Well, that's what I'm going to do. I guess I'll set up a blog and then blog from, the time I get there till the time I leave, I guess, huh?
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
It'll
I will
do two things. I feel like that'll do two things. First, it's going to bring some people to you that will help you. And the other thing is it's going to be really great practice for you, and it'll help you gain confidence in your craft and your abilities. Plus, the more you write, the better you get at it. So.
Oh, awesome. Thank you guys so much. You guys are so awesome. I am just sitting, I'm blown away right now. I think I'm just going to sit here and drink my tea and just mull this over.
Great.
When the program is over, you can come back in the archives and grab that. Kristen's Brooke is also on Facebook. It's like her. You'll find her as Brooke Montfort on Facebook. And there's also Bonnie Mosenter Alberts is on Facebook. And then I have a group that's called Spiritual Learning Connection. So if you want to connect with any of us there in Facebook land, it's like go for it.
Oh, I totally will. Oh my God, I so will. Thank you so much. This has been amazing.
All righty. Well, thank you for calling.
Have a great day, Mary.
Thanks. You too.
Okay. Bye. Bye. All righty. Let's see here. Yep. And this is always like the oysters, like they like the quick and fast, they came at last. Okay. All right. Our next one is a Skype caller. All ones across the board. So we're about to find out who our Skype caller is today. Hello. You are on air with Casey and Brooke today.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My name is Marie.
Marie. All righty. And what is month and day?
August 31st.
August 31st. Okay. Ah, you're one of those hearts people. Okay. In fact, you're the Eight of Hearts, and you've got a Six of Clubs as your planetary ruler. Eight is known, that's one of the power cards. I'm going to say right off the bat, it's, power in relationships, and it's like part of your life purpose here is to learn how to handle that power. So read a little bit about that in just a minute. And then, let's see, the Six of Clubs as your planetary ruler. Let's see, what does that do for you? It helps ground you, and it keeps you kind of on an even course. You tend to develop things and stay with them, which usually brings success instead of just leaving things, half-baked. Sometimes you can be really stubborn, and you've got a competitive streak that kind of takes other people by surprise because they don't really, think you have it until it all of a sudden goes up, and it's like you go, I won, Great success is a real possibility as long as you don't remain in your butt for too long. You've got to be true to your word, or the karma of what you said to others is going to come back to you just like the boomerang, in the same full force that you yourself sometimes avenge injustice. At heart, you're a peacemaker, and you will go to great lengths to have a peaceful, calm environment. Just be careful that you don't ignore your own feelings. Though you don't always like your emotional side, you're not always, always comfy with it or that of other people, but it is your direct connection to truth that you hold really dear. And you might have a special purpose here to help others find the light, so to speak. So, a light carrier, a bringer of light. Now, let's see a little bit more about those eights because, eights, got a lot to say about eights. I have a daughter who's an eight of diamonds, the power shopper, so the star of the tech. This is called the emotional power card, and you have the power of love. I'm thinking you have the power of love. All the eights have to exercise a certain discrimination and responsibility in using that powerful eight. Really, you're unsurpassed in charm and magnetism, but if you become overly attached to it and you use it unwisely at the expense of others, you talk about a boomerang coming back, it's going to whack you both sides. So both of the karma cards of the Eight of Hearts are sevens, and this tells that they're, you see almost immediate results when you misuse your power with others. But it gives you a great deal of spiritual wisdom that helps guide your actions. By following, the truth that inside you can rise to great heights and sharing love and healing power with others. This is actually a healer's card, and one who, a person who can truly give to others the love they need to heal themselves. You've got one of the most fortunate life paths, and a lot of the Eight of Hearts people are destined to become either teachers, artists, even statesmen, performers. Your life path cards include a Ten of Clubs, an Eight of Diamonds, and a King of Spades, all of which reside in what's called the crown line of the life spread. The top three cards that make up the spread, give great potential for recognition and success. And so, even the eight who thinks they're the lowliest, person there, it's like, you're going to gain some kind of recognition among friends and family. The health is an area where you might have some challenges unless you really pay close attention to it, because a lot of times you get so involved in your work and your families and taking care of everybody else that you neglect yourself almost to the point of breakdown. So just be conscious. This is kind of like the stewardesses, when you get on a plane and they'll look at moms in particular with young children and say, okay, him as a parent, if something happens, you put your own air mask on first, because you will do your child no good keeping their air mask on if you pass out while you're trying to put theirs on. So put yours on first so you can take care of everybody else. So it's like, you know, really make sure that you're taking care of yourself so you can continue to take care of everybody else, okay? You've got a seven of spades as your first karma card, and it's that demands self-payment for neglect in this area. With so much going on, you think you could just relax, enjoy life sometimes, but often you set such a fast pace, you make a New Yorker look slow, okay? It just becomes detrimental. Interesting how often the eighth person has an immediate family or circle of like friends that consists of almost like exactly eight people. Because eight of hearts does mean eight people that you really love. You know, a lot of them, you know, you might have eight children or eight really good friends or, you know, aunts, uncles, you know, something like that. So it's like, you know, if you just kind of look around and think about it, it's like you might find, you know, you have a special eight group in your life. You've got a really good mind. And you can excel as a teacher or in any occupation where a good mind is going to make a difference. You do have to work hard for the money. You know, you usually work hard for the money that you make, but it can be made, and you don't need to worry about it. A lot of the Eight of Hearts people measure prominence in their lifetime, especially if you're over 36, and there can be kind of this rising up in power and accomplishment. And with all the power you have at your command with this card, there's very little that you cannot accomplish. As long as, here's the big glitch, as long as you're not motivated by fear. Make sure you're motivated by love. That's what you're there for, not fear. In relationships, you have some similarities to the Seven of Hearts. You've got power, for better or worse, that was a cartoon strip, that you need to learn to administer with wisdom. You can kind of be like, you know, the playgirl of the deck. You know, you've got that charm, that magnetism, really, to get what you want, and, you know, and you go after, you know, what you want. But just be careful what you ask for because you're likely to get it. You know how to love others and to make the other person feel really special. You're less needy than, you know, some of the other cards. And you usually retain kind of what's called, you know, the upper hand or control in your relationship. For that reason, you can relationship hop when you're younger, you know, especially now when you're learning to use that as a teenager or whatever. In marriage, you can be more of the assertive one. Sometimes an Eight of Hearts woman is so assertive that it scares some of the guys away because they're kind of like, oh my goodness, you know, it's like, ah. But if you found one who's a keeper, it's like, he won't be afraid of that. That's cool. In the areas of love, you need to just be aware of what you do and with whom you are doing things with. Out of all the cards in the deck, you really have, you know, again, they really talk about this. Those swiftest karmic paybacks, wrong actions. So you really need to tread the fine and narrow one. Your power's got to be harnessed and used with maturity and wisdom to attain true happiness. So that's what I got for you in a nutshell there today. And let's see what Brooke's got for you.
Okay, thank you.
Hope that helped in some way. Okay, Brooke, what you got?
I have to go back and listen to it because it was a lot of information.
That's what archives are for. They're awesome things.
Yeah, exactly. I can't write that fast.
That's okay. So you're picking up
paper. Marie, could I ask, do you work in entertainment?
I'm actually looking for work right now. I've had a few part-time jobs, but I haven't found anything permanent. So
mm-hmm.
It's an open field.
Yeah, and where do you live in the country?
I'm in California.
In California, yeah. Okay, because that's what I kept getting. California entertainment, communications. Do you have skills that make sense for that to be a target for you in your search for employment?
Possibility, not entertainment like, you know, TV or anything like that, but working in the office in the entertainment industry.
That's what I mean. It takes a lot of people to put on a show. You know, everyone from those who make the coffee and answer the phones to the ones who are in front of the camera,
right.
And crews and everything else like that. So my sense is that something's going to come up for you that has to do with, and my sense is television.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay.
Okay, so an opportunity to work in for, I don't know what, but that's just what I was getting. So if you're in your job search, you might want to keep your eyes open for anything that steers you in that direction or any kind of opportunity or, because that's what I feel, that's where I feel you should be working.
Okay, that's interesting. That opens up a whole new field.
Mm-hmm. And that's all I got.
Okay, does that make sense? Does that help? Was that kind of, not sure what your question was, because I forgot to ask you what your question was in specific, but it's like, does that help or cover anything?
It does help. Can I just ask you real quick if you see me moving?
Moving. You know what? I'm going to ask real quick. What is, let's see, what is your current age?
I'm 49.
49. Okay. And let's see. And I know this is going to sound really silly, but it's like I have, you talk about short-term memory loss. It's like, refresh me on your month and day again. I apologize.
Oh, August 31st.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. Okay. It hurts. All right. There we go. I know. I just, I know. Can't explain that when I lose my brain. Let's see here. I'm so curious. Okay. You got the Eight of Spades this year for an overall. You've got a Five of Diamonds, and you've also got a Five of Hearts in your yearly spread, and those Fives are the restless cards, and those are usually are things that are more likely to indicate some sort of relocation. I'm just going to take a look and see. I'm also going to give you real quick what your I'll say personal year is, because this stands true for any year. You have Mercury on your birthday. It's like it starts August 31st. You have Venus that starts for 52 days on October 22nd. You have Mars starting December 13th, and that's for 52 days. You have Jupiter starting on February 4th. So that's kind of where you're at right now. You're in the middle of your Jupiter period. Your Saturn time frame starts on March 28th. The Uranian time frame starts May 19th, and then the Neptune frame starts July 10th. So let's take a look at your Jupiter and see, say kind of where you're at. Because anytime, anytime there's a five in there, it is an indication at least of restlessness. So right now, what you've got, you have that Five of Hearts in the Venus time, and that again, like I say, you've got that Five of Diamonds as your displacement. So there's some restlessness with either with values, with how you make money, and some restlessness with relationships. And either of those things, can indicate a move to a lesser degree. Like I said, the displacement card is for all years. So it's like it could, indicate a move any time. Or at least, I'll say internal movement. It's like it's in sometimes, when you move internally or you revamp your values, it's like you find yourself relocating geographically. What you currently have, like I say, with Jupiter is you've got a Two of Clubs, which is kind of known as the communication card. It can be the argument card, so I'm just going to say watch arguments. You've also got a Six of Spades, which that's kind of a stasis card. It's like it's a fact-finding. It's more like you're really finding out during this time frame, what you're here for and why. And that a lot of times can trigger a move. But I don't really see anything, I'll say immediate, it's like just that overall card, for the year. It's like you could choose at some point in time, because the rest of your cards of the year, you've got a Two of Spades and a Jack of Diamonds in the Saturn time frame. You have the Uranian time frame. You've got an Ace of Diamonds and a Four of Diamonds. So those are about, about values, about finances, but about new things, and about new things coming in and getting stability. And then the same, you end up with the Neptune time frame with that Four Diamonds again. So really, it's a time of wanting stability in finances. And if you find yourself making a move because of that, I'll just say I would not be surprised, because that Five of Diamonds there as an indicator you know, it's that option is there. And of course, anything, you know, I mean, anything is always free will. And what I tell people is, you know, you can have fantastic cards and shoot yourself in the foot with them. And I've seen that happen. And I've seen people, you know, have lousy cards for the year, you know, or really challenging cards, and they come out smelling like a rose. It's a difference of, you know, somebody having great cards would be like having a royal flush and folding it, you know, folding with that, or somebody winning the pot with, you know, a pair of twos. So it just depends literally on how you play your cards, and there's a lot of free will in that. So it's kind of like, you know, when you find yourself going, you know, yeah, it's like I'm restless, and it's like I need to, you know, get stable with either, you know, job, something like that, or, you know, financial income. And if you find yourself moving to make that happen, that may very well happen. So it's just kind of, you know, that's one of those, like I say, that's a free will choice. It's like that's when you kind of go within yourself and go, what's best for me? What do I feel like? And a lot of times people, it's really funny because they'll call in, you know, to a show like ours and say, well, we'll give them like really what amounts to confirmation, because they go, yeah, you know, I really kind of felt that. And it's like, you know, this just confirms it. So I would say what Brooke had said earlier is dial into your own intuition, because we really all have that, okay? Does that kind of help? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It does, and that was an awesome reading. Thank you both so much. I really appreciate your time.
All righty. We'll call back in and let us know. Have a good one.
I will. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. All righty. And our next person here, we're having a little blog moment here, so it's like the Firefox fox chasing his tail around. There we go. Finally got it. Okay. We have an area code 562, and you are on with us live. We got you.
You know, I called like five times for like the longest time, because I listen to you all the time, and I'm always the last caller, like 5 minutes before you close. So I was like, oh my gosh, not again. So I was like, okay, I gotta go tell her message. But I'm so patient, let me tell you. You guys are totally worth it. You're amazing. I love your readings, and it's so insightful. So I will always listen, even if I don't get through.
Oh, cool. Great. Thank you so much. Well, I'm glad we got you on today. Who are we talking to today?
This is Callie, and I'm calling from California.
All right.
Hi, Callie.
Yeah, you're in chat with us.
Yes.
Okay.
Great energy.
So what's
really great energy.
You know how this goes? Oh, go ahead, Brooke. I'm sorry.
Yes.
No,
I
was just thinking about Callie's. Yeah,
date of birth,
energy.
Right?
Time delays. It's really hard with the phone. Let's start out. What's your month and your day of birth? And we'll start there.
April 26th.
April 26th. Oh, coming up here. So you're just in the end part of your year. You are an Eight of Clubs, which is one of the most psychic cards in the deck, along with a Four of Spades. So let's see what. So you have a lot of intuition.
I do.
Why you're enjoying this.
But you know what?
Cool.
It's like it turns off when it comes to me. Like I can read other people, and I can help other people and, you know, give advice. But when it comes to me, it's like completely blank. I don't know who disconnected a button or the cable or something, but I cannot read for me to save my life.
It's that way for every psychic I know.
You cannot see the forest for the trees, because you're too tied into your own stuff with your own emotional things. And it's like it's hard to hear what's really coming mm-hmm. through, whether, you know, as opposed to, gee, you know, this is my wish. This is what I really, really
yeah.
like to happen. It's like, and then is it real or is it Memorex? So it's like, yeah, it's always good to get your own reading from somebody else. That's very true. And Brooks said true. That's true for all of us. Okay, well, we'll start out with your Four of Spades as your planetary ruler. It makes you more security-oriented, and it really encourages you to create a solid foundation in your life. It gives you good organizational skills and a really logical mind that can help keep your life peaceful. You tend toward family and home matters, and that, you know, you make them kind of extra important in your life. You're a hard worker, and you really actually enjoy working, which also, you know, there's a certain amount of peacefulness you get from working. Keep in mind that others may not see the same value in things that you do. They might think you're stubborn or unwilling to see things from their point of view, and that's okay, you know. But you like to build a life on a firm foundation, you know, just think of the, you know, the stacking blocks, you know, one block at a time. So sometimes you have fears about money that just come out of nowhere, but you also take advantage of money. So it's like, I will say with that four, though, it's because you like things stable, and, you know, you like kind of knowing, knowing what's going on. I guess I'll put it that way. Let's see here. Now, what else have we got on the Ada? What other else stuff can we dish on the Ada clubs here besides that, the fact I know that you guys are really uber psychic, which is cool.
I don't call myself psychic. I'm just spiritual, you know. That's just something that just is embedded in me since birth. So I don't consider myself psychic. I'm just like whatever I see, forget, I share it, and then that's about it.
A rose by any other name, call it intuition, call it ESP, call it my gut hunch, call it, you know, any other name, I know a lot of people don't like psychic, but it's called the mental power card. It is one of the three sticks cards, and you've got, strong mental power. You're not easily swayed by others' views and opinions. You can be a successful attorney. A lot of the most successful attorneys are Ada clubs. But your power can be applied to any mental field with great success. For example, it puts you in some good fields here. Chemists, rocket scientists, nuclear physicists are also Ada clubs. Okay, you really can learn anything. Your life path is one of the most successful in the deck. You can achieve almost anything you set your mind to, again, that mind power. And you can attain wealth and prominence if you want to, but you've got to make sure your life is kept in balance. Mental and emotional peace is really essential to maintaining that success. You've got a lot of, we're not going to call it psychic power. It's like you've got a lot of that inner power, okay? You can be a great healer. All of your gifts can be applied, you know, to great success. You just need to become aware of your true goal and to have a life of success and accomplishment. So it's like, you know, it's just like take your little, you know, index card or your sheet of paper and say, what do I really want to accomplish this life? And being one of those fixed cards, it has its own drawback, and mostly that it's sometimes really difficult for you to deal with changes, and it's really in your mind. It's like it's the concepts, ideas, the principles that are the most fixed, and often it just seems like you're born with a certain set of principles that you're going to live your whole life by, and you're just going to refuse to change. You know, it's like one of those, and you know, we've all seen children like that. It's like they are the way they are, and it's like, by golly, that's the way it is. There's going to inevitably be certain periods of your life where you're going to have, like, changes of your mental structures that must and will come. And those periods are difficult, you know, but it's also part of your karmic path, okay? You're always more healthy and alive after changes, which come actually as kind of sort of a death and rebirth. It's, you know, they're so, you know, intense for you, okay? If you work with either a person who's like maybe a jack of hearts or a king of spades, that's going to bring you far-reaching success because those are like, you know, three of the six cards. They are committed to doing some really great work for humanity. For best results, this is a hard one. You know, you need to let your work come before your personal lives, and you do keep those separate. You know, you keep your personal life and your work life, separate. In relationship, you have essentially really good marriage karma. First of all, being a fixed card, you know, you're less prone to, like, the emotional changes and ups and downs a lot of the other cards have. With that four of spades and Venus, it's also a sign you appreciate stability of home and family enough to avoid changes in love life that affect, you know, a lot of the other cards. Most Ada clubs people will at one point in their life, though, experience some kind of either, you know, difficult divorce or separation, and it usually comes in association with someone who is of the diamond suit, you know, somebody with the diamond birth card. For Ada clubs, that destined romantic breakup is a karma that's got to be dealt with, and it's usually from the past, and I'll say a past life. Because of that fixed nature, when those changes come, you know, it's not easy to deal with. And, you know, women Ada clubs often end up in association with a younger diamond male who introduces you, you know, to some kind of either highly spiritual or romantic love. And that can occur in your 40s. So, you know, when you discover that there's more to the world than just, you know, fixed mental concepts, and you come, you know, face-to-face with that desire for adventure because, you know, you're kind of an adventurous at heart, and, you love a variety of experiences. Sometimes it takes that, you know, that divorce or that separation or that change to make you graduate to a new level in your life and just kind of break out of that fixed pattern. So it's, you know, it's really like the phoenix rising. It's like it's like a total death and rebirth. Sometimes, you know, you can have secret things that are going on either before and after that change. But you're more free. Once that whatever life-changing event happens, you're more free to pursue whatever kinds of relationships really, you know, fits your life. And in your case, being a female, Ada Clubs, never allow your personal relationships to be more important than your life work. So it's honestly, you know, put your career kind of before your personal life. And it's like, and that's hard. That's, you know, it's really one of those, it's like, yeah, really? It's like, yeah, but I'm attached to those people, you know? Because, you know, if you put personal relationships ahead of your work, you're going to lose some of your power and you're going to become entangled in more emotional, you know, like the bog and confusion stuff. Okay, let's see. Okay, and Brooke, what you got going?
I'm not really getting anything one way or the other. Did you have a question?
Well, he mentioned, you know, the relationship aspect of things. I do notice that when I let that relationship, whatever, who I'm with, it will affect my work and my goals and my focus. It throws me completely off. So I don't know exactly. That's probably my biggest challenge that I have in life, is that when I'm alone and I'm focused and my career and everything's going well, if I stray away and find that love or relationship, then everything else crumbles. So I don't know how to find that balance, and I don't know how to determine which person is suited for me. Like, you know, there was this relationship that, well, I've had many, but the most recently, I would say, I've known my friend for 3 years now, and then it seems like when we get closer to actually, you know, either make a decision, I move to his state or he moves to mine, then we step, you know, we go like 10 steps backwards, and then we just stop talking altogether. So there's something, there's like a boundary there that I need to fix, and I don't know how. Because, I mean,
well, on the brink of that change. What age are you currently? How old are you this year?
I'm 43, and he just turned 40. So
okay.
His is February 13th. He just turned 40.
Oh, my. He's an Aquarius. Okay. Let's see. Just kind of looking here to see what you got going for your year. You've got, this year, you've got a Queen of Spades as your long-range card, and that's really kind of where your focus is for the year. It's about self-mastery, and it talks about that. You've got some really powerful relationship cards. I mean, you've got an Ace of Hearts, you know, the looking for love. You've got a King of Hearts. You've got an Eight of Hearts, a Seven of Hearts, and you've got an Eight of Hearts again. So you've got, you know, love is on your mind this year a lot. Just kind of looking at this and seeing where your Pluto result is. You've actually, and ironically enough, it's your challenge. The Pluto card for this year is a Six of Diamonds. The result card is a Four of Spades. So you've got some challenges, some karmic challenges, some, you know, financial payback stuff. So there's something with finances, it looks like, as far as a hurdle goes, that needs to be addressed. And then that result card being the Four of Spades, that really talks about having that stability. It's like, yeah, but there's going to be hard work for that stability. And a lot of it is, again, it's going to be that inner knowingness. It's like mastering. It sounds really weird, but it's like it's mastering yourself. So there's somehow something or other going along there. And okay, and there's a vibe. It's like, and after 3 years, are you sure this is the right guy? Are you sure that there's not possibly somebody else out there? Because, you know, indicators look like, you know, you may possibly be meeting somebody else. It's like, and would you be open to, you know, meeting somebody else or dating somebody else if a different one comes along? You know, I'll just put that out there.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it something that you guys are committed to working on in spite of stuff?
No, I think that because I don't see that same drive in him, I'm more geared to be open to whatever comes. Because if the person is more dedicated and showed me that dedication, then I'd be like, no, I'm completely committed to this relationship. But, you know, there's times where we don't agree and he won't talk to me for a whole month. And it's like, to me, that's not commitment. That's not striving to get to a goal. So when that happens, then I walk away from it. I can't deal with somebody who's not, you know, not as strong or as persistent, you know, when it comes to meeting a goal.
I'll give you just a little bit of insight, because you said his was February 13th. I'll give you a little bit of insight on him. He's a queen of diamonds, and that is one of the most, along with a five of diamonds, that is one of the most, I'll say, challenged cards in the deck besides the three of diamonds. The queen of diamonds and the three of diamonds have one of the hardest life paths in terms of commitment, in terms of trying to get long-term relationships together. They really have a problem with it. I know of one guy at the present that is a queen of diamonds that is currently married, and it's like, and actually he's on his second marriage. The queen of diamonds people seem to have multiple marriages. And even the gentleman who wrote this book and stuff, and brought this forward with this card system, he's been married, I think, two or three times. So it's like there's something with the queen of diamonds people that they really have a lot of challenging karma surrounding their relationship. So, it's like while he's on one of his month hiatuses, it's like I would say in your area, get out your door and go find some things that you really like to do. Find some either clubs or groups or something that you like to do, because I just, I kind of don't see that as a relationship working out. For you, that's something, that's going to be something best and highest for you, if that makes any sense, but again, it's, free advice here. So it's like, take it for what it's worth. If it's something that, you really want to work at and strive for, go mm-hmm. for it. But on the other hand, there may just be somebody who's a little bit better suited for you, closer to your own doorstep, okay?
Okay.
Something
to think about.
Can I say you getting anything on that, Brooke?
Yeah, actually, I got a big hit when you were talking about her meeting someone else.
Okay, yeah.
I got a big hit on that, so don't be surprised if someone more suitable for you shows up.
Exactly.
Well, I'm definitely open to it. I just don't want more of the same. And again, I know it's something that I feel. See, when I see it as somebody that invokes a certain feeling inside me, I always tend to not blame the person, but I want to learn more about myself, like what's triggering me to feel this way or what's causing me, not so much the person or their action, but what I feel inside. And so when I'm thrown off where I can't, you have a personal hurdle, that you think this just doesn't feel right, it's something that you want to fix, and that's where I'm at right now. I want to be able to fix it so I'm happy enough to just continue my path without having to stop and stumble and go through uncertainties, and that's what I don't want anymore.
Well,
yeah.
What did you say, Casey, about mastery, that she's here about mastery to learn?
I was gonna say this year her focus is actually on self-mastery. It's like mastering her emotions, mastering yeah, different things in her life.
Yeah.
But her overall, it's like with her Eight of Hearts as a birth card, that whole thing is about learning to use that, that power wisely, that type of stuff, yeah.
Is self-mastery meaning like anything that is in me that's embedded that I need to kind of bring out and explore and flourish? Is that what you mean?
Right, yes. It's looking in the mirror and going, it's not beating up on yourself. It's looking in the mirror and taking an honest look and going, okay, I know I have these qualities. It's like, these are good. Leave the ones that are good alone, because, it's like you got a lot of really positive qualities. The ones that you needed to work on, a little bit, you say, okay, but that one needs to be polished. It's like a diamond that just needs to be polished. So it's like, so don't look in the mirror and beat up on yourself. I'm not saying that at all. One thing that... I was curious to see where, what kind of connections you had with this Queen of Diamonds person. It's a Mars in the spiritual, it's a past life. Mars, Pluto, those are all about anger issues, about power and control. And he's actually your cosmic lesson. And it's like, this is a really, would be a really hard, hard relationship to sustain. I mean, you have an attraction five, which is high, but your intensity is like a six. It's like, That's one of those where it's like, oh, my goodness, you know, you disagree on a lot of levels. And the overall compatibility is like a negative one. So it's like the compatibility factors go like from, if you think of a thermometer, it goes from 10 above zero to 10 below zero. Okay, so if you're in the positive numbers with compatibility, it's good. But with the intensity, it just means how likely you are to disagree. And it's like a lot of the stuff here, two of them, like I say, are brought forward from, it looks like, you know, past life things. But, yeah, there's a lot of conflict. There was actually quite a bit of conflict between those two parts. So that's one of those, you know, that you might have brought in to resolve conflict, but it's like, yeah, not if you won't work on it. It takes two people to have a conversation.
Yeah.
That current relationship was really karmic.
Yeah.
Mhm. But it's okay that, like, he needs to learn for himself. He needs to learn the things for himself that you've been trying to help him with.
Right.
That's true.
All right, so it's good for you. If you walk away towards something, towards what you want,
mm-hmm.
it's all right. You're not abandoning him in any way. He needs to do it for himself.
Right. Yeah, you're right. That's what it feels like. I feel like I'm giving up on a person that I know needs my guidance. It's more like a responsibility more than a, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like, you know how people say, oh, I'm so in love and I can't live without him. That's not my case. My case is like,
right.
I'm always very supported and always willing to guide and help people. So, like, when I give up or walk away, I feel guilty. I feel like there's so much that he still needs to learn from me or I need to help with, but there's times where when it affects my life, then I have to weigh who's more important here. Is me helping and giving so much and not receiving in return? What is the lesson?
Right.
That's, you know, that's very challenging for me, especially when you're mm-hmm. spiritual or a healer. You want to be able to help and heal the world, but, you know, there's a limit to everything, and I think I've reached my limit with this person.
Yes.
No,
you have to understand, too, it's a matter of perspective in that there are times we come in and we have contracted to dance with someone, to have a relationship,
mm-hmm.
And yet it's never your responsibility.
Your dance partner doesn't
that other person, you're a very responsible individual. Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's not your responsibility. The only person you're responsible for in this life is yourself, any children you have, and any animals that you take under your wing.
Yep.
That's
mm-hmm.
it.
Hmm. Interesting.
So,
yeah, I never thought about it that way.
So if you have a relationship with someone who literally it's like you're out on the dance floor going, come on, you know, let's dance, let's, you know, let's do this, and he's sitting on the wall, you know, it's like he's a wallflower, he's sitting on the wall, you know, with his hands, you know, across his chest and just folded, and just going, no, I'm not going to get on that dance floor and dance. It's like you can't make him. You know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, okay? That's what you got. You got the horse, you got him to the water, he's not going to drink. So you drop the reins and you let him stand there until he's thirsty enough to, but you can walk off and let the next person come and pick up the reins. Okay?
Yeah,
no harm, no foul.
That's true.
That's the thing. You need to liberate yourself and not feel guilty.
Yes.
To move
exactly.
toward what you want, it's okay. You know?
Mhm.
Yep.
Well,
yep,
thank
yep.
you. I really appreciate it. It makes a lot of sense. And now we'll see what I'm gonna do, but I'll give you guys tested. I'll probably take another 10 tries to get through. But I'll get through.
Call it earlier. When you want to get in, call it earlier so that you're to the top of the queue there. It's like, and I'm so glad you gave me a little prompt there. It's like, yeah, we're glad you got you in today.
Thank you guys. Thanks
for your call us back again.
Okay, Ben.
Thank you so much. Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Absolutely. All right. Yeah. We'll try 814 again here really quick. It's like they've been on hold. 814, are you with us yet? Hello?
I couldn't go.
Hello?
Hello?
I can almost hear him. It's like, hello? 814?
Yeah.
Hello? You're online?
Hello there. Hi. This is Amy.
Hi.
Amy. Okay. Hi. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. So what is, we'll ask real quick here, what's your question today? And while we're contemplating your question, it's like I'll look up what your birth month and day is and just give you a quick little bit here, and then Brooke will see if she picks anything up for you.
Okay, it's July 20th, 1971.
July 20th. Oh wow. Okay. So anyway, okay. So yeah, I'm not good with the math here just yet. So let's see. Something. 81, 91, 1, 11. So that's 43, 40, 42 right now. Is that right? Did I get that right?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
we're having. Okay, want to double check. So you said July 20th, right?
Yes.
Okay. All righty. And 71. And so this year, are you 21 years old or are you 42 years old?
42.
42. Okay. You sound really young. Okay. That's what I asked. This is really ironic, and this is what I talk about people with the energies with stuff. You are also an Eight of Clubs person. The difference is you have a Jack of Spades as your planetary ruler. So everything I said about Eight of Clubs in some way, shape, or form will apply to you, just at different parts and times of your life. But let's see what that Jack of Spades as your planetary ruler is given to you here. And let's see. It adds a strong creative urge to your personality that can manifest in several ways. You might feel drawn towards acting, because a lot of the Jacks, you know, they have that acting bit there, or some form of artistic expression. See, today has been a lot of artistic expression today in psychiness. Even if you're not, you've got a lot of creativity that you do apply to whatever work you're doing. The Jack of Spades is also called the card of the thief, and because of the strong creative influence, people with that card can make a few distinctions sometimes in the area of honesty when it comes to getting what they want, but keep it on the up and up because there's karmic payback with that. This card is one of what they call the one-eyed jacks in the deck. Therefore, other people might see you as being kind of one-sided in your opinions and attitudes, but it's also the card of the spiritual initiate. You may feel drawn towards the study of spiritual subjects, which can transform your life to that higher level. So that's kind of how that manifests out. Okay, and with that, let's see. Do you have a specific question or something you want area that you wanted to talk about?
Yes. Well, my question is, do you see a change in job for me coming up?
Change in job. Okay, let's see what we got going here. 42nd year. Okay, you've got a four of diamonds as your long range ruler this year, or as your long range card this year. So, this does talk about getting financially stable. Let's see here. I'm just kind of looking at things with changes. It's like, you've got a couple sixes in different areas this year. So it's like they're, sixes don't necessarily bring change. They bring stability, though. You've got a couple sevens. You've got a pair of sevens with in the Venus time frame that is a club and a seven of spades. So that's kind of about, you know, having faith and letting things come. I don't really see a lot of change as such, unless it comes kind of in the form of you've got an Ace of Hearts and a Nine of Clubs in the Jupiter time frame. Ace of Hearts is a, you know, it's like you're opening up. It's kind of like looking for love, but at the same time, it can bring new relationships. But that Nine of Clubs, nines are usually about one thing closing and another thing opening. And where it's with the club, it's about, you know, your scholarship, it's about creativity, it's about writing, it's about, you know, sometimes the way you do things in the world. And that could be, you know, that one there could be an indication. It's like, yes, you know, there might be a closure to the job that you're at, and you might be moving on to something different. You do have a three of diamonds. Now, that's in your Saturn time frame. It's, you know, it's a really karmic time. And at the same time, paired with that Three of Diamonds, you've got a Six of Spades, which is, the, you know, like they talk about the karmic comeback card or karmic payback card. But it might indicate with that three, you know, you're going to have to work hard for it. But you could have potentially two or three different types of jobs, you know, like the old thing of, you know, don't put all your eggs in one basket. So you might actually discover that you have, you might think about starting a home business, you know, or getting involved in something, you know, network marketing or something like that, something that you have some control of from your home. But there's an indication there that you have the ability and the creativity to come up with new ways financially to, you know, to make a living that are going to be a lot more satisfying for you, because there's really some indication there that's like, you know, you may not be totally happy with where, you know, with where you're at in your job. So there's, you know, there's some changes that need to come, but it's just, you're going to have to work for them. You're really going to have to work for it. Okay, that's kind of what I'm getting there today. It's like, yeah, Brooke, what you getting?
Okay. Okay.
What is your business? What do you work in?
I work for state government.
The state government?
Yeah. So what I mainly was trying to do is try to change to a different agency.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I definitely see. My sense is that that there's some professional networking events, that if you went to them, that it would improve your chances.
Okay.
Hello? That there are things that maybe, like, that you don't normally go to.
Okay.
And they're all work-related.
Okay.
But I get the sense that if you do that, if you get involved, that you can meet some people that could open the doors for you in the direction that you want to move.
Okay.
But it's kind of like you just have to show up.
Right.
To meet the right people.
Got to take that step out, yeah.
Okay.
Does that kind of help?
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not sure on that one, but opportunity presents itself well.
Okay. Either that, or if you have you considered the possibility of, you know, if you want to move to a new department, is there some new kind of training? Because, like I say, you've got four different clubs cards here that, you know, might suggest that you might need to go on, like, I don't know, maybe not a refresher course, you know, but just like a weekend class or, you know, a short class, something like that, something that is going to give you some new skills. Does that make sense?
Okay. If something would come up, yeah, that would need training.
Okay.
Something hasn't happened. There is time to time, but...
Right. And this is, and remember what I said about hard work. It's like this is going to be the spades. It's like it may not just come on your doorstep. It may not be something that you notice. You may have to go out and do a little bit of, you know, click and Google search, you know, something like that, and say, you know, what events are coming, you know, what kind of classes are available. You might have to initiate and take those first steps and be more assertive and more aggressive about, you know, going out there and doing it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, hope that helps in some way.
Okay.
And call us back and let us know. Let us know, you know, how that pans out. We do like to know. We like those solid
calls. Okay. 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 Thank you.
You bet.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye. All righty. Brooke, we're going to get through this. We got about 20 minutes left. We got two callers. This is just the right amount. It's like we got about 10 minutes here. We're going to talk like a New York auctioneer. This ought to be fun. I'm trying to talk slower so you can hear me, because I know there is that delay thing on yours. I'm like, okay.
I'm trying to keep up with you.
You're doing great. You're doing awesome. Okay, we have, if I can get this to come on, area code 978-978. You are on live with us today. You got Casey and Brooke.
Hi, Casey. Hi, Brooke. This is Kathleen, and my birth date is August 4th, 1957.
August 4th of 57. All right. You're some powerful cards there. Let's see. You are a nine of diamonds twice. You're a Leo. August 4th, is that right? Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And this year, let's see, you are currently, I think, trying to do math here. You're 56.
Body six.
You're
56.
Right. 56.
56.
Yeah, you won't be 57 until August. Okay. Wow. What I will say is, and because you're Leo, Leos have no separate planetary ruling cards, so you are like double and in diamonds of your birth card. So just kind of looking at that real quick here. We'll see, actually, because sometimes they phraseology things a little bit different. It makes you more of a giving person. You probably notice that other people come to you for solace and advice. You know, you're the shoulder they cry on. You have to do a good amount of giving over the course of your lifetime. But it also highlights your intellectual abilities as well as your ability to sell or promote what you believe in. You know, you're that person that can sell snowballs to Eskimos, okay? You can make a lot of money in sales, but you can find yourself drawn toward a career that involves communication or using your really well-equipped mind. Your mind is really quick, and you may find distinctions in things. In love and marriage, there's always work to do, and you may find you end up with your own family where you have to work a great deal to keep up. You know, either that or your personal relationships can be challenging in some way. And I will say the nines, when you guys come in, it's always about tying up things from past lives. It's like always, you know, you're getting all your ducks in a row. And it feels like every year is like high school graduation. Every year you're graduating. It's like, and as long as you don't look at a nine as a disappointment, you know, because as one door closes, because they're going to close, another one's going to open up. This nine of diamonds is called the universal values, the giver. And really, yeah, just, you know, you're here to let go. You're here to complete a major chapter in the evolution of your soul and personality, which entails a lot of giving to other people and a willingness to release both people and material things from your life when the time comes to, you know. But if you've not, it's kind of like, you know, think of the little character from Peanuts, you know, Linus, the security blanket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how she that one time had to just literally rip it out from him, and it's like, you know, run through the wash and dry, and he was sitting there, a basket case. It's like, don't be a basket case when the security blanket gets taken. Like, just go, okay, it's good, because it's getting clean, and I'm going to sit here and do something all day. So keep that in mind there, okay? But if you've not heeded the call to, you know, kind of give and let go of others, you know, money, relationships, love, your life can be filled with disappointment and remorse, okay? So hopefully, if you're on the positive side of this, you know, you tend to be philanthropic, generous, happy, productive, you know, and you've got the opportunity to experience firsthand that heightened consciousness that really comes from living a universal type life. You've seen it really on a global scale. Despite losses from time to time, you can do really well in business, you know, again, especially when it involves selling or other creative enterprises. You're really, really good at promoting things you believe in. You're a great talker, a great communicator. You might become a counselor, you know, if not professionally, you know, at least, you know, you're the shoulder everybody cries on, okay? If you keep your values in proper perspective, you can attain affluence, and you can attain some really good financial rewards there. However, here's the flip side, always the good, bad, the ugly. If you have a disregard for the higher laws, you know, that we must give in order to receive, that's going to result, if you don't practice that, it's going to result in some misfortune, misery along the way. Also, a spiritual caveat for you is just be careful while you're driving and be, you know, double think things before you take any kind of a risk, okay? You can be like Archie Andrews on the road, okay? So do not be talking on the cell phone, putting your makeup on while you're driving, focus on the road, okay?
No, that's not me, but...
Okay. Really good, all right. You've got great minds, and you're attracted to professional work that allows you to use your intellectual abilities. Mentioned as attorneys here is like, you know, you can be a successful attorney if that's what you want to be, or excel in any kind of communication field. Due to this, you've got a keen of clubs in your Mars position, which is a really, you know, powerful position for it. And it gives it more success than most of the birth cards when it comes to legal matters and disputes. You're also really gifted, unusually gifted, when it comes to doing sales and promotion work. You know, again, mm-hmm. you can make more yeah. money doing sales than most anything else, although, you might choose a line of work intellectually stimulating, you know, instead. One of the challenges here that you're here to work on is to develop and use your charm and power to do good work. Many of the Nine of Diamonds people are destined to make great contributions to the global, to the planet. And it's by leading other people to a higher form of knowledge or understanding, so share that knowledge. In relationships, you like to have someone to talk to, and you prefer relationships with people who are witty and intelligent. You know, you don't like talking mm-hmm. to brick wall and people grunt, okay?
Right.
You have, at a point in time, one challenging marriage, you know, kind of a karmic nature. You got a lot of responsibilities associated with, you know, family, spouse, children, something like that. Marriage for you is usually karmic or kind of destined and long-lasting. You do tend to have traditional values about marriage. You're very giving, and you're typically easy to get along with. And sometimes you see marriage as kind of a job, you know, instead of just like, oh, it's this fun life thing. It's like, no, it entails for you a lot of responsibilities. And often your family is your source of the work you do in this lifetime because, you know, those mm-hmm. are the people you're here to hang with the longest time. So, okay. That being said, was there any particular question you had today?
I do have a question. I have a friend who's going to be closing on their house end of March, well, March 28th, take a few days. And they might come stay with me for a week or two till they find another place. I want to know if you see that happening and if we'll still be friends after.
Well, you've been able to stand.
I've lived alone for so long. I don't know.
Can I ask a question about your friend?
Yeah.
Does your friend have a problem with boundaries?
Like, I'm not sure what you mean, but there's different kinds
of
boundaries.
Are they respectful of boundaries of other people?
Oh, yeah, I would think so, yeah.
Okay. Because that's the only area where I would find that it would be a problem for you, is if somebody just wasn't respectful of your boundaries.
The only thing, I'm meticulous, so they leave things hanging around and this and that
right.
stuff might drive me crazy.
Right.
But
you
do
like
you see
order.
That person coming to stay here for a week or two or not?
Let's see. And you said that was going to be, they were going to be closing on that about the end of April, you thought?
No, the end of March, early April,
March,
the house is being sold.
April, okay. Okay. That is right in your Saturn time frame because you have Saturn from March 1st, which ironically enough, it actually went retrograde. Saturn went retrograde on March 2nd this year for till into July. But you got Saturn from March 1st, and then the Uranus time frame doesn't start until April 22nd. So in your Saturn time frame, what you have is you got a Ten of Clubs and you've got an Ace of Hearts. So it's like it, you know, those are Saturn is our most challenging time of the year, ironically enough.
Mm.
But you've got two really strong positive cards there. The Ten of Clubs is really one there. It's like this would be it's in the scholarship area. It'd be like a new learning experience for you, okay? And you've got an Ace of Hearts there, so it may potentially be that, you know, having that person there, you see a whole different side of them, and you might learn to love them in a new way and learn something along the way. It's like that's the way I would take that, but it's like it might, because it's in your Saturn time and more challenging, it's like it might be a challenge, but it's like you're going to get some positive benefits off, is what I would say.
Okay, so you do see it happening. Is that what you're saying?
I'll say it's a potential and a possibility where we have infinite, you know, universes and all that stuff. It's like anything could happen. But, you know, if it does happen, it's like I think it would tend to be more of a positive experience for everybody involved.
Great. Well, listen, thank you so much for a great reading. I appreciate it. Now I have to go back to the archives and listen to everything to catch up.
Yes, hey, Brooke, did you have anything else to add to that?
I kind of saw her friend being her like, I got that yeah, I think her friend is going to stay with her, but I think it's going to be delayed for some reason. It's not going to happen as early as she thinks. But I think that she'll come and stay with you. And I agree. I got the same thing as you, Casey.
It's a he.
It's going to be a positive experience and a learning experience. And it'll be a little stressful because our caller is a very organized person.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Leo's
so
are.
Like,
I have
people disrupting her order.
Right.
I understand. I'm the same way.
Yep. Okay. If you worry about it in any way, shape, or form, it's like you could be thinking about it ahead of time and make yourself a little poster and just go to house rules. If you drop it, pick it up.
Yeah,
if it rings, answer it. You know, if it meows or barks, feed it. You know, if you open it, close it.
Put the toilet seat down.
Toilet. Exactly.
It is a male.
I post that. Right. Might post that
right,
on the toilet. Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You bet, sir.
You bet.
Thanks for calling.
Enjoy
in.
Your.
Let us know how it goes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
thank
exactly.
you. Bye bye.
You bet, sir.
Bye.
All righty. And guess what? 6112. We got to you. Not 112. 612.
You know, I've been
go.
Trying
Here
for a long time. I've been trying for a long time, so I'm so glad you got to me. You made my day.
Yes. All right. First two. Who are we talking to today?
Do you need my birthday to know?
Yes. And your name. Your name would be nice instead of hey.
And your
person.
I'm sorry. My name is Mary, and my birth date is June 8th of 65.
Well, we've had a lot of Marys today.
Yeah, I was going to say, and it's like, and you're going to laugh about this one because June 8th is a Nine of Diamonds person. You're a Nine of Diamonds.
Another.
Seven of Spades. Another, I know. Like I say, energy-wise, it seems like that more often than not. It's like, you know, we get people with similar birth cards. It's like, I do. I laugh and go, wow. You know, is it real? Is it Memorex? It's like, or is it, you know, those energies that are out there? It's like, it's so cool. Okay. So everything I said about the nine of diamonds, if you were listening earlier about the birth card,
I
would,
but I have to remember.
It's called archives. Archives are great. But you've got a seven of spades as your planetary ruler. It adds a lot of strength to your personality, and it gives you a certain amount of good fortune, especially in the areas of home and family. You might feel that you have either a blessed marriage or relationship, or that many good things have come from your parents. Health concerns might play a major role in your life. You might be accident prone. Again, think Archie Andrews in the comic strip, okay? Seven of spades encourages us to have faith in life, because the sevens are about faith. In spite of whatever circumstances we find ourselves in this regard, you might find yourself tested a lot of times. Find yourself attracted to people of intelligence and wit, and with a bit of luck, you could marry one of those. Financial security is something that will only come through hard work. So that's that lesson of the spades. It's like, you know, if you want a prize-winning garden at fair time, you got to get out and work it with the hoe and weed it and water it and all that stuff. So it can come, that material blessing can come, but again, with hard work. So, okay, that being said, what is your question for us today?
I would love to know what surprises are coming for me this year.
Surprises.
I mean, not that I want to know the details. Like, I just love those nuggets of hope to hold on to, you know? I'd love to know, like, what area may I be blessed in? Or...
Okay. How old are you right now?
I'm 48.
48. You're 48 here. Okay. Blessings this year. You've got a four of clubs as a long range. So stability there, also an indication with that communication. Either you're going to be looking at, the possibility of taking, like, I always say university, but it's like, you know, universities and colleges have outreach classes, or you might find yourself taking, the seminar weekend class type things, or, you know, something like that. But somehow or other, learning, creativity. And we didn't get a chance much to talk with our piece writer here today, but it's like, again, it might be something, you know, either with writing, or it's like what they're flashing is like some kind of pamphlet. You know, you have something to teach people. let's see, and you're about in the middle of your year here. It's like June, let me think here, July, August, September, so November, December, January, oh, March. No, wait a minute, you're close to the end of your year here. What I always tell people is I like to talk to people at the beginning of the year because your personal year, of course, starts with your, starts with your birthday. So the time frames you've already been through, you know, your Mercury is, of course, starts with your birth date, and then it goes to the next one is your Venus time that starts July 30th. Your Mars time frame starts September 20th. The Jupiter time frame is 11-11. The Saturn time frame is starts January 3rd. You're already into your Uranian time frame, which began February 24th. And so this is more, talk about unexpected, you're right. It's like you're in your unexpected time of year. Your very last time frame is Neptune, which begins April 17th. So, wanting to know surprises, yeah, I like that. Okay, so what kind of surprises does Uranus have for you right now? You've got a Three of Spades and a Two of Spades, and ironically enough, got on the wrong year. Let me reform that. Oh my goodness, nope. See, this is the 48th year, right? Okay, I want to make sure I got that right again. Okay. Surprisingly enough, you have a Queen of Hearts, which is the marriage card, and the Eight of Hearts, which is that that power to get the person you want, you know, whatever. And then you end up the year with the Neptune card of being the Five of Hearts. So it's like, and you also have had a displacement card of the Six of Hearts. So it seems like this may be unexpected love coming into your life.
Oh.
Are you ready? Is this what you wanted to hear today?
Everybody wants to hear that.
That. Looking for, as long as it's not, looking for love in all the wrong places. Don't do that one. Okay, what we've got there is success in spiritual study. I'm working with groups is highlighted. You've got power and charm that you're experiencing can be applied in work or humanitarian endeavors with a lot of success. You're pretty successful whatever you direct this power to during this period. Those spiritual related activities are highlighted by the influence of the Uranian time frame. It's a card of cooperation among friends and coworkers. Because of the power of this card, it's almost a guarantee that there's going to be a very successful process period, even if the other one, Word Challenge, which I'm pretty sure it's not. The other one there with that Queen of Hearts, so I can't wait to see what that one is, because that's the house of the royal card, so it's like, let's see what the Queen of Hearts brings for you in this. It can actually start to bring an unexpected or unusual marriage or romantic encounter. You love this one. Kinky sex is indicated. Okay, we'll forget that one right there. I didn't say that. Anyway, your romantic or marriage partner may seem a bit unpredictable now. It's the time to allow some freedom in your personal relationships and let go of attachments. Perhaps you just need a little space yourself. You can access high levels of being together if you give each other plenty of breathing room. It's like repotting a root-bound plant. And the freedom to be yourself creates space. Any person that you meet, any female of the heart suit that could be somebody in your family, whatever, might be a little unpredictable. There is this time period for, it extends through the entire year. But to ensure your success with relationships, it's just best, you kind of step back, allow them to be, what they're going to be, do what they need to do. Because a good friendship comes from unconditional love and acceptance. So there's your surprising part. And it's really funny that you're asking about it because you're in the Uranus time frame of the double lightning jets now. So that's what I got for you there. It's like, Brooke, what you picking up?
I'm actually not picking up anything.
Okay.
I might be getting a little tired because I'm not used to this. I'm not used to reading and stuff for people. So I think I'm just getting a little tired is all.
Yeah.
That's okay.
I'm enjoying listening.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad to have gotten through today, and I appreciate the gift you guys share.
All righty. And, call us back. I'll tell people, call back early. It's like, they Blog Talk won't let you call in any earlier than 15 minutes ahead of time, but it's like, call in early.
No, you guys are so popular. I can call 45 minutes ahead of time and sit on the line. You guys are way too popular, I tell you.
That's what Bonnie says, too. It's like, how was that? $50? Like, oh, yeah. All right. Well, we got 90 seconds left here, and Brooke, I'm gonna, and you know, thank you, caller, for calling in today. I'm glad we got you in today. And you know, please call back and see what else. You know, Bonnie's gonna be back next week and see what she gets, because a lot of times, you know, she has those people standing right there in line just waiting to tell you stuff. So you might have something.
Bonnie's readings are so great.
I know, and that's one of my favorite things to hear. So I'll call back in.
Yeah. Okay. Do.
All righty.
Thank you.
Sounds good. Sounds really good. Thank you. Okay. Well, Brooke, one more time. It's like tell people how to get. It's like I can tell them to get a hold of Brooke on Facebook, but where else? Where's that WordPress address if they want to talk to you a little bit or get a hold of you someplace in a social media place?
Okay. If anyone wants to email me about whatever, my email address is A as in apple, B as in boy, Monfort, M-O-N, S as in Frank, O-R-T as in Tom, @yahoo.com. I'm happy to, you know, talk to anybody about whatever. And, of course, my services in helping people express themselves in a way that's effective. To if anyone has any books they're working on, of course, I love helping. I love collaboration and helping bring the best out in my clients. So if any of y'all need help with writing a book, let me know.
All right. That's okay. We just got kicked off. We're on the recording time, but this will be an archive, so people wanting to hear this will come back and archive for us. And thank you so much. For being on today with us. It's like, this is a hoot, and it's like, we won't, hopefully next time it won't work as hard. Either that or,
okay.
This is like a muscle. It's like, okay, it's like, we need to exercise it probably 90 minutes or something like that. So, but thank you so much for coming on today. It's been a lot of fun.
It's my pleasure.
All righty. Thank you, Brooke. Yeah. Thank you so much.
You bet. And I'd like to send in love to everybody who's listening. And please tune in, you know, next week. Is it Bonnie will be back next week?
She will. This week she is she's up in New York. I guess she's in some place called Hyde Park. She's delivering someone to I think it's a chef school.
That's her son. She's getting her son straightened out and ready to go to school.
To go be a
okay, so
chef.
Everybody,
exactly.
Bonnie will be back.
On next Monday. Alrighty.
That's right.
But thank you so much for coming on. It's been a pleasure to have you on here with us, and it's like you didn't get to tell us nearly the experiences, you know, that I was hoping you'd be able to. So I hope you come back on and talk a little bit more about ghostwriting and about you know, some of the other experiences you had growing up, because man, you've had a lot of them. Because like we could spend the 2 hours just talking like we did the other day. It's like that'd be awesome.
Well, I guess I have to write the book then, don't I?
Uh-huh. You do. You know, that's a wonderful idea. That really is. That's a good one.
Yes. Well, we teach what we need to learn.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. And share that knowledge with the world. That's part of your deal too. Is sharing knowledge. So it's like, you know, if books are a good thing for you to write, it's like instead of being a ghostwriter for somebody else, it's like you could be a writer for yourself and get your own stuff published, which would be really incredibly awesomely great.
Mm-hmm.
That would. That
well,
would
I'm
be
working
really
on some things. I'm working on some things.
Cool. Really cool. All righty. Well, I'll let you go. I didn't ever hear you take a snack break, so you might need to grab a snack now.
I know. I'm hungry.
Okay. That's probably part of it too, because I know. Well, you know, if you're not drinking water, and if you're not, you know, ingesting a little bit of calories, it's like, it can be a brain drain. It really can. So anyway, go have a good lunch. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, dear. Okay. Bye bye.
Bye. And I'll say Bonnie's favorite thing. Love is in the air, and we love y'all. Our callers make our show, and, you know, we love to hear from you guys. So we will see you again, and we're about to be blogged up.